This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Leviticus chapter 13. We're going to move a little quickly this morning through some pretty intense diagnosis, I guess, is the word we'd use. It is a passage where God gives them clear instructions about different aspects of these defiling skin diseases, better known as leprosy back then. They considered it our leprosy and did not know exactly what it was. Of course, God did. And that's what makes these passages so interesting in the sense of understanding history and understanding how God deals with His people. One of the things about Scripture is it is immensely practical. Now, this passage is not necessarily practical for us as far as skin diseases today. It is practical because it was practical to the people it was written to. And it gives us some insights into certain aspects of how God does things, how God operates, how God works. And I think that's exciting. It's definitely this. You can go into the book of Leviticus and say, really, I don't really get a whole lot out of it. But I can promise you this. It is intensely practical. And when you're studying God's Word, there's a natural tension between a couple of things that, especially as teachers or pastors, we have to concern ourselves with. First of all, we need to concern ourselves with being true God's Word and making sure that we are relating the actual text to the people. They actually wrote of God to the people. Jesus said, the words I say to you, and He literally meant the words that came out of His mouth. The words I say to you, they are spirit and life. And obviously, what He was telling His disciples is, the things I'm telling you, you need to remember. The actual words I say to you are powerful. And we know that from John 1, as we've been studying through John on Sunday mornings, that Jesus is the Word made flesh and among us. So He is the eternal Word who existed with God in the beginning and was God in the beginning. And His word is the things He says, literally the things He says in these passages are where they're alive, they're life to us. And so that's important for a teacher or a preacher to deal with. Needs to be true to the text and make sure that he or she is relating to you God's word, giving you the actual word of the living God. And so when I'm teaching God's word, I want to make sure that I'm giving you the text. But I also want to give you the other aspects of God's Word, and a lot of people call it practical. They call it relevant, meaning it has something to say about your daily life. It has something to say about the life you live. It has something to say to your times and your seasons. It has something to say to your circumstances. So it has something to say to the times we live in. It has something to say to the world we're a part of. It has something to say to the circumstances I'm in. It has something to say to the future that I'm headed toward. It has something to say about everything about who I am. And so when I am reading God's Word, I want to find, and when I'm teaching especially, I want to see not only just exactly what God was saying, I want to know what God says in His Word. I want to know what His Word says from Genesis all the way to Revelation, from the first chapter to the last chapter. I want to know everything that God's Word says. I want to be up to date on that. I want to be my mind continually being washed in that road. But I also want to search for its relevance. And I don't want to look for the neat little things that I think may be something that I can grab hold to and say, I have some revelation for the moment of the hour, some deep nugget of prophecy. Although God may give to me those things. I'm not saying that they don't happen. I'm just saying that's not my primary focus when I'm mining God's Word. What I am trying to do is I'm trying to find out what God has to say to me and then to the people that I'm teaching or preaching to each and every week on Facebook here, maybe Sunday morning in worship or the few times during the week I teach some Bible studies, and those opportunities I've always at least taught once or twice during the week and made sure I was teaching the Bible on Sunday morning, and now I'm teaching the Bible every Monday through Thursday here on Facebook. So I want to make sure that I'm giving people all that kind of stuff. And so when we're studying through these passages, we need to figure that out. And this passage that is verse 9, basically through 38, is God, well, it's 46, God telling his people how to deal with these skin diseases. Now, the first thing I want to let you notice is he sends them to the priest. These are the reason God is dealing with these skin diseases and wanting to tell people how to deal with them and dealing with them in the uncleanness. And we talked about that being sin, a picture of sin yesterday. The reason he's doing that is because they're infectious diseases. And in the times we live in today, the time we live in right now, after we've come off this COVID craze, we understand infectious diseases and the importance of having at least some kind of way of handling or dealing with it. God did back then. God gave his people a way to handle an infectious disease, a skin disease that would have been passed from person to person with bodily contact, or maybe even could have been passed in some ways respiratory, but this is not respiratory issues. This is literally a skin disease that would have been passed from person to person through clothing, through touch, through dealing or handling the same items, and God wanted to deal with it. That's intensely practical. There's no way to get around that. It is a practical thing that God's telling them to do. He says, when anyone ever defiling skin disease, they must be brought to the priest. And you go, well, why the priest? Well, because they were the most educated. They were the ones who had access to God so that they might receive some revelation from God. They were the ones who would have seen the most people. They would have been the ones who would have been around a lot of people. And so they would have been able to watch and notice and see the different aspects of the people that they were ministering to. That's a group of people to choose out, to draw out. And you have the beginning of an understanding of the professions. And originally, the three professions or the three areas of work that historically required great education were the priesthood or the clergy, and then you had the medical people, the doctors, those who handle those things, and over the thousands of years, they've had all kinds of names to them, but the people who dealt with sickness. And then you had the legal people, the lawyers, or in the New Testament, that would have been the scribes and the Pharisees, whatever name you gave them, but they were the people who dealt with the law, with the way society should run and handling rules and regulations, those things, however you categorize those things. Those are the three original professions that needed to have a lot of learning, a lot of experience, and an ability to read and write and all that kind of stuff. And you have what is, in essence, developing as the priestly or clergy class. And out of that clergy class, there's going to be those people who have expertise in these areas of medicine. And they were going to grow out of that in the Jewish culture. And then ultimately, you see the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day, 1,300 years later, you have all the professionals that existed back then and really have existed for 3 or 4 millennia in the past in most societies in the world. Practical right there. And so the priest is examining them, and if there's a right swelling in the skin that is turned, the hair, and if there's raw flesh in the swelling, those are really the three things. You got swelling in the skin, it changes the hair color, and there's raw flesh. And you're going to see that throughout 12, as you go through 12, all the way through 46, if the disease breaks out over all the skin, that's verse 12. Then it's one of those things, and they're unclean. The priest is examining them. The disease has to cover the whole body. He should pronounce them clean. If it hadn't covered the whole body, it just broke out and then healed. And he goes through verse 18, when someone has a boil on their skin, and it heals, and in the place where the boil was, a white swelling, a red spot appears, they must present themselves to the priest. Notice, there's some kind of damage, there's some kind of injury, and then as a result of that injury, they have this infectious disease on their skin, which we know happens. We know whenever you get sick in one way, that takes down your immune system, and it makes it possible but you might get sick in another way. Boom. You got that right there. The knowledge right there as you're staying through God's word. God says, hey, listen, your immune system, they didn't know what that was. When it goes down and you got some kind of thing and then a swelling or something comes up through the injury, you need to handle it. Cuts, all that kind of stuff. Opening of the skin. God knew if that caused infection. God knew it'll have to be handled. He says, verse 24, when somebody has a burn on their skin, a reddish white spot appears in the raw flesh of the burn. Notice, these are injuries to the epidural, the injuries to the skin, burns, cuts, other sores or whatever. They heal or they're in the process of healing and then white skin develops. What is that? That's an infection. We know what that is. It's an infection. And God says we can't have, when you have an infection, we can't have that infection passed to other people. Now, in the spiritual sense, we understand that God is separating them out as a picture of making sure that people don't pass the skin disease. But from the spiritual perspective, that means that the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. The Bible says for those who are believers who leave the faith, who deny God's word, who deny God's truth, don't even eat with them. For those who are in the world who we are ministering to and loving and sharing God's grace to, we're in the world, but we're not in the world. What does that mean? Well, we go to those people we love and we share God's grace and goodness to them. We do every kind of stuff, but we don't become one of them. We don't join them in what they're doing. We are in the world, but not in the world. And so the clear picture here is a separation of God's people. Now, we've been that in such a way that we've become so separate that we can't make any difference in the world that we live in, and that is not what God's talking about. And there's a practical aspect to this, understanding the spiritual significance of it, and then there's a practical aspect of it. What does that mean? I need to realize that I need to be holy as He's holy, but I also realize that I've got to be in the world and not in the world. I've also got to realize I got to help people, and so I can't become one of them and help them out of where they're at. And I've got to realize that any believers who profess to be Bible-believing Christians, profess to be those who are the children of God, and they're living like the world, they're in the world and of the world, I got to separate myself from those folks. The Bible says you can't even be around. Because God wants them as quick as possible to get to the pig pen so that He can bring the prodigal back home. And He can't do that if you're enabling in their prodigalness. Yeah, I don't even know if those are words that real words, but you understand what I'm talking about. You can enable people to live in the world who are believers and live out of the world as believers and not even realize you're doing it. Don't do that. There's practical aspects of this. Just like when God was telling them to examine these things. What is He saying? Look at what's going on here and figure whether or not it's a leper skin disease. Spiritually speaking, for us, He's saying, look at what's going on here. Figure out, is this a leper skin disease? Is this some kind of sin that they've gotten involved in? Are they in it? Or have they just touched somebody and got it on their skin? You've got to think about what the situation people are in. Now, you're not going to make some direct correlations to these, although probably if you dug deep enough, you could. That being said, these are ways we deal with sin in our lives, sin in other believers' lives, sin in the world, and how that affects God, the people of the world, and how we're to help and be light and be life to them. And notice, we're the proofs, so we have to be the ones examining. We're the kingdom of proofs, so when they come to the proofs, we got to figure out how to handle it. And if you want to get practical, there's some heavy practicalness in this. You've got to sit down and say, what is going on here? And oftentimes we live our lives so focused on ourselves that we don't look around and see where the infectious skin diseases that many people have. He says, if a man or woman has a sore on their head or chin, and he goes through all this about sores on the head and chin, and if it's in a beard, and if it's not in a beard, and if it's in a beard, that shave the hair so you can tell whether it turns white or not, and then if it turns white and the hair turns white, then it's infectious. Notice the deep examination that is going on that God is telling them to examine, and He says that same nothing to us. Examine your life. Examine other people's lives. Remember, you saying, well, you're judging them. No, I'm not judging. I am judging them, but I'm judging them for the right reasons. And you're going, what do you mean? Well, Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. For in the same manner you judge others, it will be to you. Well, if I'm judging others so that I can share God's grace and be light and hope to them, I want that to be meted to me. I want that same judgment to be given to me. So that's not a judgment that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about condemnation in their judgment. You judge them and then you condemn them. And he says, if you judge them and condemn them, then you're heaping judgment and condemnation on yourself. But if I'm judging or looking closely at someone's life, dealing with them, helping them, and I'm shining light and I'm giving life to them and I'm not joining them in those things and I'm helping them out of those things, sure, I got to make some judgments. I'm a rational person with a rational mind that God has given me, and he's given me his way to use in that rational mind to come to some conclusions to help someone. Got to do it. Okay, I got to make judgments. But remember, there's a difference between judging and condemning. And if your judgment is for the purpose of condemnation, then you're heaping condemnation on yourself. And if your judgment's for the purpose of hope and life, you're giving hope and life, and that's what you ought to do. Then he goes into the man who's lost his hair and is bald and is clean, and then he gets a spot on his head. You're supposed to examine that. That's verse 30 through 44. And he says, if it's a certain type of spot and it grows a certain way, and he goes through some pretty heavy detail here. And he says, if it grows a certain way, then we need to pronounce them unclean and separate them out. Was the priest being mean by doing that? No, the priest was being good to the person, and he was being good to society by doing that. Anyone with such a defiling skin disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the leather pad of their face, and cry out unclean. I want you to notice as we get to the end, what does he tell them to do? He tells them to wear something that lets everybody know, and do their hair to let everybody know that they've got the disease, and to cover their mouth. Notice, to cover their mouth and cry out unclean. Now, we're going to get into a little bit of detail about that tomorrow, but you need to understand that these are some important looks into God's word, and they're important looks at how God deals with things. And even in our modern culture, what God says to do 3,500 years ago is what we spent 2 years ago doing, telling people that we're sick. You got to tell them you're sick. You go home and put on your jammies and cover your mouth and tell people that you're sick. Huh. Verse 35, if we dress the words up more, modernize the words, could have been something we said just a few years ago about COVID. Interesting. Sounds like God's very relevant for the age and the times we live in and the age and the times they lived in. And all ages and times, because interestingly enough, God made all age and time. He's a good God. And when we study God's word and we intend to intake God's word, we get his plan and we get his reasons and we get his purposes. And ultimately, we can find his will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect for us. And then we can rest in his love and his grace.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.